Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Cross one-timer scores! Rasmus Dahlin with the overtime winner! That is a delicious finish by the captain, and the Sabres take it 4-3.
We dealt with a tough loss against Montreal. We dealt with goal getting taken away. I thought our answer, tying goal. Great job on the tying goal. Hell of a job on the tying goal. Played the game the right way. We got rewarded. That's a big 2 points. We talk about not losing. Not losing 2 games in a row. That's a great effort. Big win.
Great game, boss. Way to stick with it and get the card.
All right. Any guesses as to what he said there? Sorry, I couldn't figure it out.
I couldn't figure out what Lukanen said either. It must be a locker room
talk. If we're going to run this stuff, we need captioning because we look like
they have their own locker room. They have their own locker room language that they use inside the locker room, so nobody tells anybody what they're saying. But I was intrigued by the, you know, McLeod pick there because he just got it a few games ago. And usually you're looking at other players to contribute. And I thought Zach Benson was fantastic in that game, wherever he went. You know, I feel like the Sabres got, you know, chances and got energy. And so I think my first star for me was Zach Benson. But look, from the press box, Lukanen had a different look and picked Ryan McLeod for the veste given to the players.
Well, I mean, based on our discussion yesterday and my proclamation that Dylan Cousins had the most pressure on him, like most things I say, that may or may not have been true. And if you were to say that Ryan McLeod had to fill Tage Thompson's shoes and produced a goal and assist in a narrow win, pretty obvious he would get the vest. Right?
Very good, you know what I mean? Point there.
Like, and nobody had more points. He's filling the biggest role. Everything else on this team does not look like Tage Thompson. So when he is not there, it is the biggest hole you could possibly have on this team. You could argue, we could start the argument with me and say, oh, well, if they lost Dahlin, no chance because you got a number one overall pick in Owen Power.
And you got Bo Byram.
Yeah. There's nothing like Tage Thompson on this team. So the fact that Ryan McLeod went in and had a multi-point game, he absolutely should have got the vest. He should get the vest for the week for that.
Well, okay. I mean, great points by you. Great energy coming out of, you know, this morning, Duffer. I love it. Look,
I'm mad because I couldn't understand a damn word on the sound. That's why.
That's fine. Oh. Don't worry about that stuff. It's fun. It just, the look on Ryan McLeod's face when he got it was surprised, like almost like, well, yeah, put me on the top line, and this is the results you're going to get, bud. Like, that's the way it goes.
Wasn't just the top line, because it wrinkled and evolved as the game went on. Because
third period change.
Right? See, so you had Benson there, but then obviously Benson ended up going back with Cousins and Quinn, so that meant Paterka in the more customary, you know, opposite wing of Alex Tuch. So interesting to see the usage last night.
Very, very interesting, because third period started and all of a sudden we saw Paterka with McLeod and Tuch and Benson with Cousins and Quinn. And really, what did we see? Like, Cousins and his line with Benson on the line had a fantastic third period, right? It, like the goal that was taken away, goalie interference, I get it. And look, was it the right call? I know everybody's going to argue it, but if you pay attention to the National Hockey League and you look at all the goalie interference calls that have been negated goals, the one in Toronto just two nights ago, and we talked to Darren Dreger about it yesterday, the smallest of contact inside the crease is going to get waved off. That is how they've been, and that's how it has been. And I knew when this one went in, and then I saw the replay, and the overhead shows it's in the blue paint. I knew it was going to get waved off, but the play by Cousins before that, out muscling his player in the corner, making the play, going to the front of the net, getting the goal. Like, they looked the way they need to look for the whole game, because the way that it started last night, first shift, Cousins starts the game with Peterka and Quinn. First shift, they didn't do much. And then you have McLeod's line with Tuck and Benson, and they got a great chance. Then you have the Zucker chance right away on that next shift. Then you have the Lafferty chance on the next shift. And then, you know, the Cousins lines come back on the ice, and they give up a goal. And I was like, oh, this is not the start that Dylan wanted, right? A tough first shift and then gives up a goal. But I do believe in the third period when Benson was reunited with Cousins and Quinn, that line dominated in all aspects of the game, and it was great to see.
Yeah. I was thinking Cousins could have had interference on that big hit that everybody loved so much.
Well, a little
remember
borderline,
we had the Zucker incident earlier in the year, and I'm always aware of, well,
does he have the puck? Is there control of the puck?
What's the timing here? Yes. Are the two of them engaged on one thing, or is one taking advantage of the other in this situation? And again, it's about as clear as goaltender interference, which you're painting to be incredibly clear today. I don't think it's that clear because I didn't really see, like, it was ironic after having the yellow paint, clear paint, blue paint discussion yesterday on the Perreault highlight reels, but it wasn't so much about the paint for me. I'm like, literally nothing happened here. Nothing happened here.
And it wasn't on the initial shot. It was on the rebound, right? So if it goes in on the initial shot, you're thinking, okay, Benson made contact, right? Mm-hmm. Binnington couldn't play his positioning, but I think Binnington sold it well. Like, because when he ends up flopping and
exactly
fly and like laying down, then you say, okay, the contact affected his ability to make the first save, mm-hmm. and he wasn't in position to make the second save. Therefore, the contact was the reason for it, and we're going to wave it off. I think Binnington played it good. He's an experienced goaltender, and he understands a little contact. But that's how you do it.
If we're going to be on this topic, which it clearly was part of last night's game, what was Oscar Sundqvist thinking? He gave Buffalo the game.
Oh, well, yes. He,
what are you doing?
You're running the goaltender with a minute left.
The game. Like, he's lucky Buffalo chose to run off the final minute of regulation. Like, they could have attacked 6-on-5, still had a power play in overtime, and actually stripped St. Louis of a point.
Well, yeah, and I actually think that was a dumb play by Sundqvist to run Levi in that sense. A minute left, it's a tie game. You're going to skate in the paint, and it's not like the puck is there and you're making a play on the puck or whatever. You just quit. Like, you know, when you're like are skating, you're going to like open skate, right? And you're skating around and you're like,
East Aurora outdoor or
Riverside or the canal side, whatever. And you're like kind of going a little faster. And you're like, I could really stop right before the boards. But instead of stopping, I'm just going to go into the boards and slam in the boards to stop myself, right? That's like what he did. He could have stopped before Levi and thought, well, this guy's got gear. Why not I use him to stop myself? And then that's the penalty. But Ryan Callahan spotted it right away. He says, keep the puck, because I get it. It's East versus West. What Buffalo is worried about and concerned about is getting the 2 points.
Yeah.
Get the 4-on-3 for a full 2 minutes in overtime, right? Instead of doing 5-on-4, and then after a minute, if St. Louis gets the puck, what happens? Faceoff is at center ice. Who knows if you win this faceoff or whatnot. Get the full 2 minutes in overtime. But St. Louis, on the other end, like, what were they doing? They were content of getting the 1 point. Like, I would have said, I'm going to, you know.
Why wouldn't they be?
Well, I get that. That's important for them. So it worked out.
Have you seen
for
what
both
they've
teams.
Been doing lately?
I know they've been giving up goals in the third period like crazy. So, but okay, let's talk about that power play in overtime. I felt like they were far. Like the Sabres were too far from the net. They were very much on the perimeter. And when they tried to make that play to Alex Tuck on the back door and his stick broke and he went to the bench, I felt like urgency kicked in. Like, oh, crap. We're 3-on-3 now. We're not 4-on-3. Let's get a little closer to the net and get a chance. And that's when Peterka went to Dahlin, right? Like when Tuck had to leave, in my opinion, I was like, oh no, St. Louis is going to put a ton of pressure. But it changed the way they approach. And Peterka was like, well, it's 3-on-3. I'm going to attack the middle. Right. Well, really, it was 4-on-3 because Cousins went right to the front of the net. But it changed their mentality right there. And the pass from Peterka to Dahlin happened.
Agreed. The stick break was the best thing that could have happened.
Yeah, because it changed the dynamic. 100%. It changed their approach.
And I get it. History has shown us. Ovechkin continues to show us. You can have setup power plays, and you can push and push and push and expect funneling it to the same area is going to get you that great result. But man, do I love an ad lib power play. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you've ever done the math, even in small sample sizes, but we obviously talk about it all the time. So much offense comes from broken plays, you know, an original shot attempt. Oh, either whiffed on it or glanced off of something. And all of a sudden somebody's teeing it up on an unsuspecting goaltender. And it's in the, you know, it's like, didn't draw that up, you know? So I just, it's good in the sense that it's a great reaction to an unexpected situation. So, and not to mention over the last 9 games, you know, Buffalo's 9 games, they're nicely in the top 5 in power play success.
Power plays. Yeah.
It was always going to take them a while to climb the ladder based on being at zero for so long. But there was also a time where the Sabres and the Oilers couldn't even do the math and get their penalty kill and their power play to 70%.
Yeah.
Now the Sabres are getting close to 20 on the power play. They're getting close to 80 on the penalty kill. And slowly but surely, they're both moving in the right direction. And oh, guess what? Both in small sample sizes were a big part of the win last night. Right. Yep. Like, so like, just think the Jets have been all world and everything. The Devils just had a sunrise vacation of all time. They did global series sunrise. They went to Florida to take on the defending champions for 2 days in the same rink.
Well, it was over 4 days because they went there the day before. They played a game, had a day off, then played the game. They were on a mini vacation to sunrise to play hockey.
And they won this. And by the way, the Panthers were on the longest active winning streak in the NHL prior to the Devils going there. So like, this is enormous for New Jersey, enormous. And it's also on the heels of an embarrassing because of how the game played out. 1-0 loss to San Jose at home before they went on the road trip. So kind of funny how that game unfolded. But when you look at the Jets and the Devils, and we know the Red Wings have been kind of, they've been a strange team. They can't seem.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To get the five-on-five consistency from a scoring standpoint, so their power play has been keeping them in there. Toronto also started terribly on the power play, and even without Matthews, you know, the numbers over this last few weeks has been pretty good. All I'm trying to say is the Sabres are in pretty good company here with how the power play has been going ever since that afternoon game at home against Detroit when they finally scored for the first time when Zucker got it off the Thompson rebound, right?
Yep.
So it's
Zucker scored on the next game, like I swatting the puck up in the air. And
well, they
then
have
it
nine
just got
over
going.
The last nine games. It's amazing.
Yeah, so that's exactly the confidence that Lindy Ruff was talking about. We'll get one before the end of the season. Now, I don't think he thought it was going to turn that quickly, but yeah, they've figured it out a little bit more. But even on plays like yesterday, like I said, the first minute and 20 seconds of that 4-on-3, it felt like they were looking for Peterka one-timer, and they were looking for, you know, maybe Dahlin do the switch. Tuck was doing a great job of trying to be on the back post with his skates opened up and his blade, and then they looked for him. And yeah, I think when, you know what? There's a couple of moments that unexpectedly changed the dynamic of the game. That broken stick by Alex Tuck changed the dynamic of the power play, which led to the Sabres winning. But as producer Jeff was talking to me before the show, he was at the game. And he said when the Dylan Cousins goal was waved off for goalie interference, felt like the rink got angry. It felt like the game changed a little bit, like there was a heightened sense of desperation in everything the Sabres did after that. Now, it started at the start of the third period. They had that heightened sense of, hey, we lost to Montreal, and we're not going to lose a second one here in this building and having a lead and giving it away, so let's go. But when the Cousins goal got waved off, not just the players had that heightened sense of let's go, felt like the fans in attendance were angry about the call, and the energy like was different in the building after that call.
Yeah. And I mean, I always struggle when, you know, A, we're not involved in it. So it feels different, right? Like,
yeah,
there's a natural energy when we're doing the broadcast and we're in the arena, and it always, whether I'm watching on a phone or a laptop or somewhere outside of the, you know, the venue, it always feels odd, right? And because of the heightened importance of this game based on what happened against Montreal, I think my mind was viewing it in a way that I think Lindy kind of articulated but didn't dwell on in the post game. And like, without going as far as to say it felt flat or it felt quiet or it felt this, he acknowledged that some of his guys just didn't, like, they weren't going.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was watching. And I'm like, this seems odd because you know that they're trying to manufacture something here to ensure that the same thing doesn't happen as it did on Monday. So I guess, you know, it is the nature of pro sports. You're not always going to get beauty for the entirety of 60 or 62 or 65 minutes plus, but they did find a way. So
it's the same thing for Levi. And I think we're like, you know, when you look at our talking points yesterday, oh, Levi is going to play against St. Louis. Lukanen's not dressed. James Reimer is going to back up. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Lukanen is on the ice at practice today. And we'll see.
Quick on that. So there's three goalies on the ice right now in practice.
Yeah.
The Amerks have released Matt Vernon from his tryout because Felix Sandstrom is good to go.
Yes.
So they're back with Hauser and Sandstrom in Rochester, and the Sabres currently have three, and you can elaborate or not as to how long you think they'll have three.
Well, I think it's going to be three for a short future now, just because they have the roster flexibility, depending on what happened with Tage Thompson, but with Matthias Samuelsson being out long-term, they do have a roster spot for an extra goalie. Right now, they have an extra forward in Tage, an extra D in Henry Jokiharju, and an extra goalie, which was Lukanen last night. So there's your three extra roster spots. Now, if there was to be other injuries or concerns, they would have to manufacture some roster movement. But one of the talking point was Devon Levi. Which I thought had a really good camp and a good first couple of games of the season. Had a tough one against Columbus and then another tough one and, you know, against Montreal in the third period. It wasn't great, but I'm not going to count that against them so much because you come in the third period of a game. But it's still the NHL. You're still an NHL goaltender. You got to make saves. And you give up two goals on four shots, not going to be good enough. You know, a quick goal early on, listen, it beats them. You know, power was soft in front of the net. It have like these things as a goaltender, sometimes you don't expect it, but you know what? It's your job too, to expect the unexpected, always be ready and be on top of everything. So that's the, you know, the main thing here. When you look at Levi and Kyrou hit the post, it's 3-3, hits the post, right? Like, okay. There were some bounces that went Levi's way. And he also made some good saves. I thought it was a good get back in the routine, get back in the rhythm situation for Levi here. But now we wait and see what happens tomorrow in Philadelphia, if Luukkonen is back in or if it's, okay, let's give Levi another chance at feeling even more better about his game and continue to build on his development, which has slowed down a little bit here over the last 2-3 weeks with Luukkonen playing so well and playing so much.
What would you do?
I would go back with Levi.
Yeah.
I would go back with Levi and say, okay, look, I get it, Luukkonen, maybe you're good to go. But there's no need to rush it now. It's part of giving Levi the opportunity to build forward. Next week, you got 3 games in 4 nights. And then you go from there. Then you see after the West Coast trip what's happening. But I would go with Levi again tomorrow night, which could or could be a very different story when it comes to having the conversation with Luukkonen after practice today.
Latest update on goaltending around the NHL. And by the way, Buffalo's next opponent, Philadelphia, continues to just go through this carousel of day-to-day, but you never know who it's impacting. Like, yes. Lately, the number one guy, Sam Ersson's been so good, and then all of a sudden, he wasn't available yesterday, so Fedotov comes in, and he's able to get a shootout win, an overtime win, against the Ottawa Senators, so they keep using their carousel of netminders, and sadly, on an annual basis, Freddie Anderson's name gets caught up in all this. Anderson is now no longer week to week. He is way longer, according to Rod Brind'Amour and the Hurricanes. Now, this is relevant for a number of reasons, not the least of which is I promoted the nice numbers that Kochetkov had the other day just to elicit a response from you. So he will undoubtedly get more time, and the Hurricanes can only hope that Spencer Martin is better if he does see more time at some point than in his last go around, which ended up being pretty bad. Sam Ersson.
Or Carolina maybe looking around the league and saying who's going to be put on waivers at some point that we could look at.
They because committed that's to Martin the, last year. I mean, I think they'll
I know,
Martin,
but you know what? If Anderson is going to be long-term, you're going Kochetkov, Spencer Martin. That may be an uncomfortable place to be for Carolina.
Philly's next tomorrow, and Ersson has now been dubbed a lower body tweak. He's expected to miss 1 to 2 weeks, so we will not see him tomorrow when the Sabres take on the Flyers. And Couturier, who was listed as day-to-day yesterday, is still questionable for the Buffalo-Philly game tomorrow. Oh, by the way, Pyotr Kochetkov is also doubtful to play tomorrow.
So who's number four? I'm like, who's number four on that list in Carolina? You talked about Spencer Martin, and Yanev Peretz is another one that maybe could be there. So, now if Anderson's long-term and Kochetkov is doubtful, Carolina finds themselves in a bit of a pickle here with their goalie situation.
Yeah, that is
are we going to hit over 100 goalies this year? Because we hit like 98 last year. And 98 basically tells you it's over 3 goalies per team, right? Like 96, it would be 3 goalies on average. And that's why I believe the Sabres did the James Reimer signing this summer and Sandstrom, and they want to make sure they have bodies that have gotten some NHL experience. I it looks to me early in the season that we may go over 100 this season when you look at all the little injuries and guys getting a chance to play this year.
Well, Vasilevsky was healthy last night and became the fastest to 300 wins as far as games played is concerned. And also because this ties in, and you wanted to mention it the other day, and I felt terrible that we didn't, was brand new franchise, the Utah Hockey Club, a new record for a netminder with that franchise, with Karel Vemelka's 49 save, one goal against performance. What a showing the other night for him.
Look, Karel Vemelka's numbers this year are actually pretty good. Just hasn't been getting any run support. And Connor Ingram kind of took over last year in Arizona over the crease. And this season, despite the fact that early in the year is when loss record was really good, the numbers have not been good and they're trending the wrong direction. So Vemelka now is getting a little bit of run support and maybe he's making a bid to come back and be the number one guy in Utah. You know, he's got some pretty nice gear. Like, I like his, you talked about his Brian's pads, but the way that they look with the color is really nice. I catch the other way. And you mentioned Vasilevsky, fastest to 300 wins. Connor McDavid, fourth fastest to 1,000 point. Mm-hmm. I mean, Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Mike Bossy, and Connor McDavid. I was looking at the stats last night, like, Mike Bossy played 752 NHL regular season game. Mario Lemieux, 915. If those two had played full length, you know, careers, they'd be number two and number three in points behind Gretzky. And now if McDavid plays a long career, he'll be number two. He'll be over 2,000 points when it's all said and done.
How many people will buy a Vemelka jersey now that the Utah Hockey Club is actually selling them for the first time?
Now that it's available, and we know when we went to our broadcast meeting, they mentioned that, like, about how, well, you know, Utah, it's a process. They won't be available until November. I wonder how many people ordered Ingram at the start of the season and quickly will go and get the numbers and the nameplate changed to Vemelka now that it's a month later and he's playing that well. But that's not the jersey I would get anyway. If I was in Utah, I'd get a Clayton Keller jersey.
Well, the one thing we do know is anybody who's buying one now is probably going to buy another one when they actually have a real nickname. So
when they have the new jerseys coming up next year. So, well, you know what? It's kind of like here. There will be a special night of Utah Hockey Club vintage nights. Seven nights out of the year, we'll wear our vintage jerseys from year one.
No, I can certainly remember as a very, very, very small child, the thrill of getting anything close to an NHL jersey for the first time in my life. And that leads us down the path of Sabres Learn to Play, presented by DeUville University. For 6 weeks of on-ice instruction available for kids 4 to 9, you can join the captain's crew to gain access to an exclusive skate with Alex Tuck and Rasmus Dahlin. And you can visit sabres.com/learn to play to sign up today. Shayna Goldman, next on Sabres Live.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.